Good morning to everyone. Today is the Sunday known as Quinquagesima Sunday. The epistle for Quinquagesima Sunday is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never falleth away. Whether prophecies shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. As far as the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this word was hid from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And he heard the multitude. When he heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, the epistle is the famous 1 Corinthians 13 epistle on charity. First epistle of St. Paul to Corinthians, chapter 13, charity. And he first describes how necessary charity is. Then he describes charity and what it's like. What is charity like? He starts out by saying it's patient, it's kind, and so on. And then he tells how if we have all other good things, but we do not have charity, it's all a waste. And so I'd like to spend a few moments about talking about charity, because this is something which is very much misunderstood these days. What is really this thing called charity? We see how it appears. and how necessary it is. But what is it, actually? Well, it is one of the virtues, and all the virtues are habits. So charity is a habit, but not just any habit. All of us have habits, you know. But we don't all have the charity that we should have. All virtues are good habits. You know, a bad habit is called a vice. So charity is a good habit, not a bad one. But what is this good habit? A habit expresses itself when we exercise the action of the habit, when we do it, a thing. And we do something with charity when we have the intention of showing our love to God. This is the substance of charity. What is it? It is a habitual intention of showing God our love and pleasing Him in various ways, which is what people do to show their love. When they show your love to someone, you want to please them. Of course, whether it's God, you can only please Him by doing the right thing. Some people you can please by doing the wrong thing, but not God. Right? And you doing something right, which pleases, which of course all the right things that we do that are right, all of them please God. But having this intention in mind makes an act of charity. So, for example, when we wake up in the morning and say the morning offering, which is every Catholic should know the morning offering and say it every morning when they wake up. We offer to God our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for the intentions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We say, for the intentions of thy Sacred Heart. Well, my prayers, works, and joys, and sufferings, they're supposed to be dedicated to the service of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the honor and service of Jesus. Well, this is an act of love. We show Him our love, saying, we want to do all the things we do today to honor and serve the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This makes it an act of charity. And then when we go ahead and do those things, hopefully we can sometimes remember to renew our intention to please God. Now, as all habits, we practice them sometimes, and other times we are not practicing them. And so, the stronger that a habit becomes, the more often we practice it. And besides the frequency of repeating the action, there is the intensity of that desire. When we desire to please God a little bit, well, that's very good. But if we double that desire and make it twice as strong, I tell you, my friends, we increase the results by 10 times just by doubling. It's like an exponential function, as you see in mathematics. You know? Double your in your love, and you will multiply the results by 10. This is really true. It is how the saints proceeded from just ordinary people to becoming giants in holiness. If someone, of course, you know that everyone has their dreams, their hobby, their focal point of their life. If we make our loving God to be the focal point of our life, where everything else revolves around it, we have found holiness. But if we have something else which is not quite that, which is the focal point of our life, something else, well, then we are really very far from holiness. But none of us are so far that we cannot become saints. It takes a shift of focus, as you can see, to put our whole world, make our whole world revolve around our Lord Jesus Christ and around God Himself. And this will bring us to holiness. Now, enough said about charity, because we only have so much time. We move on to the words of the Gospel. First, there are like two parts to the gospel. You see, the first part of the gospel is the occasion when we Jesus predicts that he's going to be handed over to his enemies and suffer from them. He's going to be handed over to the Gentiles, to be mocked, to be spit upon, and to be put to death. And as the gospel tells us, it's, let's see, St. Luke. St. Luke was a doctor, a physician. The way he puts it, he says it three times in different ways. He says, and the word which he spoke was hidden from them, and they did not understand what he said. And finally, he says the third time, and they understood none of these things which were spoken to them. In other words, they didn't get it. He told them plainly, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over to my enemies, the Gentiles. They're going to mock me and spit on me, and I'm going to be put to death. And they go, huh? What did he say? They didn't get it. Now, why didn't they get it? Let's look at the second part of the gospel. What does he do in the second part of the gospel? They're on a trip together, Jesus and his apostles. And they're going near Jericho. And on the side of the road is a man who is blind. He cannot see. His eyes don't work. Everybody understands that, you know. He's by the side of the road begging, and he's blind. And he hears that Jesus is coming by. He hears a commotion. What is going on? And somebody tells him that's Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by. And so he yells out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. They say, shut up and leave him alone. He's a very important man. He does not have time for you. And he just yells out all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so he goes, Jesus comes near enough and he hears him and he stops. He says, bring that man over here to me. And they bring him over and he says, what do you want me to do to you? He says, Lord, that I may see. And he told him, receive thy sight. And of course, as you know, the miracle took place. His eyes were miraculously fixed. He could see. Everyone saw this and was very much amazed. Well, why did this? How does this explain in the first half of the gospel? Well, the apostles could not see. They didn't get it. They did not see. Things were so plain to them, and they did not understand. It is a comparison between those who have the Catholic faith and those who do not have it. The Holy Catholic faith is like being able to see, whereas not having it is very much like being blind as a bat. But how do we get this vision? How can we begin to see if we do not have the faith? We must go to Jesus and ask him, Lord, that I may see. Now, even those among all those who have the Catholic faith, they were born in the Catholic family and raised up, or they're converts and studied the faith and learned it and then became Catholics. Out of all these, you know that there are degrees of vision. Just like some people who need glasses or contact lenses, and others whose vision is very good. Just because you can see well and you don't need glasses, that does not mean your faith is perfect. No. But there is a comparison between the various degrees of vision and the various degrees of the strength of our faith. And I don't know anyone who thinks that their faith is so perfect that they do not need to increase it or make it stronger. But then we all need, therefore, to beg Jesus for faith. And it is a custom, an old custom, to use ejaculatory prayers, little short prayers, just very quick prayers that you can use at any time, no matter how busy you are. And one of these prayers is to be said at Mass when the host and the chalice are raised up at the consecration. For after the consecration, the priest raises up the host and the chalice so that the people can look on them. That's actually what it says in the Missal. And he shows it to the people. Et ostendit populo. So the people can see it. And that's why we have the elevation, so that you can look upon the consecrated species at Mass. And don't be surprised when you see me raising the host and the chalice with only one hand. It's not because I'm a Novus Ordo now. I'm not. But I have a broken clavicle, and my left arm does not work perfectly yet. It's been 4 weeks, and it's getting better, but it's getting better. So when you see that only with one hand, remember, it's just because I have broken bone, right? And that will be over. It will be cured in a while, and I'll start using both hands again. I have not changed to a Novus Ordo Mass, right? But at that moment, when the priest raises up the consecrated host so you can look, a little prayer is to be said, O Lord, increase my faith. That's a very good prayer. The apostles prayed this. O Lord, strengthen our faith. And they also said to him, teach us to pray. So in order to believe, let us ask Jesus to take away our blindness and to help us to see the faith. And let us ask without ceasing. As the scriptures tell us, that no man can please God without the faith. And it is the Catholic faith that we must have, not a false religion. That's why we'll study catechism after Mass. So be there or be square. Right. Okay, so this season of Lent coming upon us, let us be prepared for it. It's a good idea not to overdo it on Mardi Gras, right? Don't take too much drink, or don't commit sins just because now you're going to have to do some penance. No, it's a remedy for, penance is a remedy for sin. It's not a preparation, sin is not a preparation for penance, right? Don't get that mixed up. And let us unite our Lenten sacrifices with the Holy Virgin's prayers. She will certainly make them accept more agreeable and more acceptable to our Lord. So let us offer our penances through our Blessed Lady, Our Lady Help of Christians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.